I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitation.
Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy, vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the promoter and producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair coming back to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 21st and 22nd. It's an early strike at Halloween, so you can get your early witchy on. So visit rhodapsychicfair.com to find out more about the event. Sign up for the email list so you can be notified of ongoing events throughout the year, such as this coming Friday, June 30th, the quarterly preview at the Monterey Elks Lodge overlooking the beautiful Monterey Bay. Go to goodvibrationsradio.com, click on the event link, find out more about that. No RSVP required, just show up. There is a $10 admission, and get the numerology from Kirilani, the astrology from Joyce Muse, the Wisdom of the Tarot from Cherie Greek, and find out what July, August, and September hold in store for you. Well, here we are already at the 26th of June. Now, as we've said throughout the year, as you know, June is the last month of the creative cycle of the year, and July starts the last 6 months of the manifesting cycle of the year. So the question is, what intentions have you implanted in your life? Where do you see your direction going? Because once that manifestation starts rolling on in and you start saying, where did that come from? The question is, when were you thinking about it? As you know, I like to start each show with a little day by day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh. And what he put in that essay was a reminder for all of us that our present reality is a direct outcome of our past thoughts, habits, beliefs, and actions. But those past thoughts, habits, beliefs, and actions don't predestine or foreshadow a future for us. You see, right now, in this moment, we get to create our future by the thoughts, the intentions, the habits and the actions we take going forward. We have an opportunity every day when we awaken to start a new future immediately. And in Day by Day with James Allen, his words have been broken up into a little segment for each day of the month. Now, for the 26th day of the month, he says, persistence grows your root system. The person of good and lawful purpose cannot fail. It only needs that he daily renew the fire and energy of his fixed resolve to consummate his object. So that goes back to is, what are you thinking about now? What were you thinking about yesterday? And what are your intentions for the future? As I mentioned very often, I use daily word to give me a thought for the day, but I had an interesting journey today that I felt goes so much with our guest in the rest of this show. And I have three quotes that came to me from three different sources, and they all seem to apply to this whole area of each of us, cleansing, clearing, releasing, and forgiving within our own lives. And from the Daily Word, it says, forgive. I release any resentments, fears, or judgments I may hold. Forgive. I release any resentments, fears, or judgments I may hold. From my sunrise inspirations, it says, acceptance and tolerance and forgiveness Those are the life-altering lessons. Acceptance and tolerance and forgiveness. Those are the life-altering lessons. And then my Nightingale Conan quotes coming from Dr. Dennis Waitley says, change the changeable, accept the unchangeable, and remove yourself from the unacceptable. So what it really does is put all the decision points in us. If it ain't working for you, stop doing it. If it is something you can change, change it. And if it's something you can't change, learn to release, accept, forgive, and then and release the resentments, fears, and judgments around it. It's all in your hands. Now, normally in the show, I would wait till after speaking with our guest to talk about the astrology, but several things require, in my opinion, review before we talk with our guest. And it starts with that summer solstice last week when the sun entered Cancer. As we know, that's the longest day of the year. But this is about Cancer. Cancer is that deep, watery, emotional sign. Cancer took the life from our sun, the giver of life, and took it down into those watery depths. And we might find several things happening to us. One, we might feel a little more oriented to home and family. We might miss family. We might crave a missed family. And we might have love-centered meltdowns because Cancer is all about that depth of love, that motherly love, that nurturing love. And we're going to be going through this till our sun changes into Leo. So right now, we're a little bit more vulnerable than we might have been before the sun's move. And then last Wednesday, Mercury went into Cancer. And Mercury is going to stay in Cancer until September 5th. So our planet of our thoughts, our communication, as well as everything electronic, the drivers on the road, all of that are emotionally hypersensitive right now. We'll see slights that aren't slights, and we'll see slights that are slights. We'll take things more personally. And since it's all that Cancerian energy, we're going to find ourselves pulling away from things, going into that crab shell, and looking to burrow deep into the sand at the water's edge. It's important for all of us to work on not taking things personally during this transit and to use some of those ideas of forgiveness, releasing the resentments, to also learn to forgive others around us and forgive ourselves, which is the core of any true forgiveness. So when we're feeling some of those things hitting us personally, go outside, take a walk, go into nature, go into the woods, go walk down by the water. If you can find a place, shout out those things about who's doing what to you. Don't shout it at them. Shout it out in some safe place. Talk, if you can, with the people that you feel the slights are coming from. Open the lines of communication. Don't become the crab. Go into your shell. Go into the sand. And then Friday last week, we had the new moon in Cancer. And so our new beginnings from our new moon are all focused on that same home and family and nurturing and security. So our new beginnings are all going to be vested around those things. If you were starting a new business, it's going to be the security and the financial stability of the business that's going to matter to you. The reason you're doing it may be focused around providing support for your family and knowing that you can provide for them. And since crabs can be extra stubborn, don't interfere with anyone on their Cancer journey of new beginnings unless they ask. Pursue your own dream and goal. And Jupiter, which is now direct, will support those forward movements. It's just going to be cautious and slow and deliberate. And then Saturday, Mars in Cancer squared Jupiter in Libra. So this was a fight. But this fight was a nice fight. Any fight with Jupiter is a nice fight because Jupiter likes to make nice. And so this was more about overreach, maybe doing too much. So it's time for you to examine, can you do less? You know, your only real problem is going to be overconfidence, unrealistic expectations. But with Jupiter, it's always a future-oriented transit. It's always looking beyond the horizon, not necessarily right in front of you. So be cautious. Make plans. Go slow. Don't take any shortcuts. And correct your mistakes as you find them. And you're going to make major headway in your future plan. So stay centered. All this Cancerian energy is going to stir up all of our emotions, all of our feelings of security or insecurity, all of our feelings of love or lack of love, all of our feelings of intimacy or lack of intimacy. And we have to make sure, from a true heart-centric place, we're connecting in, because this week, today, at 11:18 p.m. Pacific time, Mars in Cancer will create a trine with Neptune in Pisces. Now, trines are very nice, walking hand in hands together. We already know about Mars in Cancer, but Neptune taps into our deeper unconscious, our intuition, our healing. And Pisces is that mutable water sign of deep sensitivity. Pisces is ruled by Neptune, so this energy combines with Mars in Cancer to tell us to get out of our own way and help others. That's right. This transit going toward the end of this month of June is telling us stop making it about you and focus on the all. Focus on assisting those people that you can. Now, this will be more of a spiritual experience than a physical one, which will make it more fulfilling and more enjoyable. You're going to have the desire to help others. It won't be the typical Mars bursting with power day, but you're going to find the energy to accomplish anything that really matters to you, that helps others, that moves others forward, that supports others, that collaborates with others. And today, and going forward, tomorrow, other people will matter more to you than you do. Now, here's the caution. Never sacrifice yourself in the process, but understand, instead of worrying about you, you'll be helping others. And that will be more fulfilling than having another dismal, oh, woe is me type of day. This is a day of true kindness and concern. And your assistance doesn't have to be large, profound, or earth-changing. It just has to come from your heart. It's a pay it forward type of day. Let the energy carry you through the end of the month. Excuse me. Use it to examine your own healing, because coming this Saturday, July 1st, Chiron, known as the Wounded Healer, will go retrograde at 28 degrees of Pisces. And it's going to stay retrograde until December 5th at 1:47 p.m. Pacific time. That's 5 months, over 5 months. This is the time to identify and release your woundings, to forgive yourself and others, and know that forgiveness is a journey. It's not a destination. And that is how I want to lead in to our guest for today. Wendy Coulter is a certified master healer, clairvoyant practitioner, transformational coach, and minister. She's been actively involved in spiritual studies and the human potential movement from an early job at the Bodhi Tree in Los Angeles's seminal New Age bookstore to her participation in Louise Hay's early living room healing sessions in Brentwood, California. She received her certification in energy medicine and graduated the clairvoyant, ministerial, and teacher's training programs in Santa Monica, where she also became a staff instructor. And in addition, she received her coaching certification from Coach Incorporated. She's been a clairvoyant and master healer for over 15 years with a thriving practice in Los Angeles. She offers in-person and online services through her website, thepracticalpath.com. And she shows metaphysical education programs to support people living authentically in support of their dreams, desires, and life purpose. Wendy, we want to welcome you back once again to Good Vibrations Radio.
To hear your voice.
Thank you, Wendy. I'm sorry. I actually was delayed muting you, but it's wonderful to hear your voice.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah. Well, it's always a pleasure. And perhaps you could explain for the listeners what it really means to be an intuitive healer. And while there's a part of that they might understand intuitively, they may not truly understand of what that means.
Well, it's such a good question. I practice and teach a very specific kind of skill called medical intuition. And it goes along with mind-body medicine. And it's a way to use a clairvoyant visual skill set to scan and read the physical body as well as the chakra system, the aura system. And the whole purpose in doing that is twofold. One is to look at the physical workings of the body and as if I was looking at an MRI, you know, kind of a physical scan of the body to see what's actually going on there. And then also, and that I can do that with the chakras as well and the aura, but also to get to the root causes of any imbalances. And you touched on this in your opening, which I thought was so wonderful, about the roots, you know, what we think in days before creates our experience now. Well, very much so that applies to physical imbalances. So when someone is experiencing an issue, as a medical intuitive, what I do is I look for where that thing started, where that energy started that created the current imbalance. So it's a specific way of using intuition in the healing process.
Now, in the type of healings that you practice with folks, is it a healing where you use your skill set to open up their healing, or is it more of a healing that you pass on to them?
It's a good distinction to make. There's two things I practice. One is called medical intuition, and the other thing is that I have a healing modality, very similar to, for example, pranic healing, quantum healing, Reiki. There are a lot of wonderful healing modalities. I have a personal healing modality. It's called biofield balance energy healing. But that is a separate practice to medical intuition. So the reason I'm telling you that is because I'll make that distinction for you. In healing, when people do energy healings, what we're doing as healers is we're moving energy, we're shifting energy, and we're helping the client really just release energetically whatever they can release that might be stuck or blocked for them. And it's so powerful and wonderful, and there are phenomenal modalities out there. But in medical intuition, what I'm doing is I'm looking to see what I can find out, and I'm telling the client what I'm seeing. So I'm using words to tell them, and they're using their awareness to hear it. And what that does is it raises their level of I call it permission, for them to actually have a healing on a much deeper level. So there's this aspect of medical intuition that I don't work on someone's energy, but I look at their energy as a medical intuitive. And so there's a lot of good sayings about this. Awareness is the first step in change is a good one. And that's really what we're talking about, becoming aware of the underlying issues or motivations that lead us to where we are. And if when we want to make changes, that's a really important piece of the puzzle.
So it sounds that if from the medical intuition standpoint, if I understood this correctly, a session with you would more or less lead a client to a guided self-directed healing versus any healing that you yourself would do.
Well, I can tell you that hearing, just bringing things to awareness can be extremely healing for people. Mm-hmm, and one of the best ways it can be healing is in self-acceptance. And that was a big part of what you brought, what you were just talking about. Self-forgiveness, self-acceptance, self-awareness. These are the cornerstones of any kind of healing. And people who've been in the energy healing world for a long time have noticed that very often clients will come back again and again with the same issue, particularly chronic issues, and healing is not taking place on that deepest level. Well, that deepest level is really the motivations, the original root points, the where the trauma occurred and what was set up from that. So that's where the medical intuitive process really, really works. It kind of unlocks those doors. It unlocks those memories, those circumstances for people to really start to, you know, align energetically speaking, so that when they do go into the next modality for their issue, meaning anything, certainly alternative complementary, acupuncture, chiropractic, things like that, energy work of every kind, and even allopathic Western medicine, the healing can actually take place on a much deeper level and a much more permanent level. So that's the value of medical intuition. I really do see it as sort of unlocking the doors of awareness.
Wow, that's powerful. Now, that's a very specific modality. When you were younger...
Actually,
go ahead.
I was going to say, it's so specific, I actually don't even call it a modality, Solarzar, because I train people from every modality in this skill set.
Mm-hmm,
I train, you know, a lot of energy people, of course, but doctors, nurses, psychologists, you know, chiropractors, acupuncturists, people who want to use intuition in their healthcare practice, this is the way to do it. This is the intuitive development part in medical intuition.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I misstated that, but where are
we going?
No,
it's all right.
Well, all right, I won't go into the self-flagellation thing. And just, I'll forgive myself. No, I'm teasing. I was totally teasing. But where I was going with it is, since you may have already answered this in that last answer, is there, for instance, even with yourself, was there an intuitive skill set that you had that led you into that? Is there something that helps people be better at that before they go into that study? Or do you, as you said, where you seem to take people of all types of modalities, healing modalities, and bring them in? Can you take someone who doesn't even believe they have intuition to learn this?
Yes, and that's really the first question people ask me. Aren't you just born with this? How do you teach this? The answer to that is that everyone is intuitive. There are so many different kinds of intuition that usually people can recognize themselves in at least one. And I can talk about that if you want a little bit.
Oh,
but
please.
The main skill... Okay, good. I'd love to talk about this. There are several main types of intuition. The first one that people will recognize themselves in is called claircognizance, meaning clear knowing, a sense of knowing. And that another word for that is gut feelings or hunches. Everybody has gut feelings. Everybody has hunches. And whether or not those hunches, you know, play out, most everyone can say in their life, you know, I had a feeling about this or a sense or a knowingness about it, a hunch, and it actually came true that way. Just about everybody can say that. And very often we think about someone, a friend, a loved one, we're just thinking about them, and then they'll call or email almost immediately in our experience, you know, or the next day. And that is called claircognizance. There's a name for that. The next one I talk about is called clairsentience, meaning clear feeling. And this is something that's extremely common in the healthcare field, and that means experiencing the emotions or physical feelings of other people in your own emotions or your own physical feelings. And that's that sense. And just about everyone who says, I'm empathic, what they're talking about is clairsentience. Now, it's a great skill to have, and we also talked about, I also describe that as women's intuition, mother's intuition. Things like that are very much about clairsentience. The one I was actually born with, I had an awareness of it, is called clairaudience, and that is hearing information through your sense of hearing, but you're not actually hearing sounds. And what I used to hear was music. And I became a musician in my life for many, many years. And I would hear, I would be humming a song in my head, and as a very little kid, I used to ask my mother to turn the radio on because I heard a song in my head, and I knew it was on the radio, and I'd ask her to turn it on, and there it was, playing right where I was humming it. I thought everybody could do that. I thought that was just something people could do, but I found out when I reached about junior high that no, not everybody could. That is a more esoteric skill, intuitive skill. But the one that that medical intuition uses is called clairvoyance, clear seeing. And that means seeing visual information without using your physical eyes. Now, here's what that means. This is why everybody can do it. Everybody has an imagination. Everybody can imagine something in their mind's eye. And learning how to develop that skill from an intuitive perspective, believe it or not, it's not such a big leap for people when they're when they're taught correctly. So everybody has something like this. You know, one, you can pretty much recognize yourself in some of those, or more than one, or maybe just one. But we all have an imagination. We can all visualize. Even doctors.
So during a training, and we want to point out to people that going to thepracticalpath.com, there is information about the classes as well as the services that you offer. And you have some trainings coming up. But let's say going into a training, you have a group of a certain amount of people. Do they go through exercises initially to kind of test out their clairvoyance or tap into it?
Yeah.
Or, oh, okay.
Absolutely. Yes, day one. I don't mess around. I got to tell you what, this class is very, it's a fast track class because I'm teaching people who are working in the field and they want to use their intuition right away. So on day one, I teach skills for the practitioner. So the practitioner knows how to start working with their own energy, meaning grounding, which is a really common term where you really connect with the earth and you feel your body grounded, and other skills that help develop intuition. So we start right off with it. And by the end of the first level one, which is a four-month program, and people are reading and scanning the body in 4 months. It's pretty astounding. But what that tells me and how people are learning it and assimilating it is that this is a very learnable and teachable skill. And I've been perfecting the method over many years on how I teach it. So people are really coming out of it with a lot of wonderful skill that they use right away.
So what would be the difference between level one and level two? Is level one more or less I can play with me and level two I can play with others?
No, level one is I'm going to learn how to read people's energy, look at their physical bodies, look at the workings of their anatomy, their physical anatomy, and their energy anatomy. Level one is very comprehensive. Level two is where we expand and fine-tune and hone and grow those skills. So people get a lot in level one. But, you know, these are the kinds of things that you need to practice. And you know, anyone who practices a skill or an art form even, you know that practice is a big part of it. So there's a lot of requirement for homework and practicing, and this is why people learn it so quickly in my program.
And it seems that it, with that last frame in there, very often in the metaphysical community, people take various classes and courses, but they're not things that they do. You know, so they go off and they learn how to do this energy healing, but they don't do energy healing or vice versa. But it seems that this training really is critically important for people who are already working with clients of some type or intend to work with clients of some type in order for them to really get the practice they need to hone the skill.
That's absolutely true. I really made a point when I started my program some years back that this was the community I wanted to work with. People in healthcare, any kind of healthcare, traditional healthcare, energy work, alternative and complementary, you name it, because medicine is in need of a reboot. And what I mean by that is these kinds of skills really need to permeate all of medicine. And here in California, we're kind of lucky because there's a lot of mind-body medicine awareness. There's a lot of energy awareness, even in the traditional medical communities. And so it's not that big of a leap, you know, here in California and up the West Coast and whatnot, and other parts of the country as well. But these kinds of things, the more people in healthcare learn how to use their intuition, learn these wonderful skills to bring into their practices and work with their clients and patients, the more we'll see just, I think, frankly, better healthcare, more holistic healthcare. That's a really important word, holistic. And this is why I do what I do, because I take the holistic view of the body. I'm looking not only at the physical nature, the physicality, and I'm not just looking at symptoms. I'm looking at what's driving them, and I'm also looking at the energy field. So it's quite holistic. It's probably the most holistic thing I can think of when we talk about holistic medicine or mind-body medicine.
You know, you've gone through a lot of training yourself, an extensive amount of training. So you're not just somebody who read something in the astrology column one weekend and put a shingle out the next. But yeah, oh, look, there's this little paragraph here. I think I'll do that.
I had about four years of metaphysical training, and I also did a lot of other things in besides that really directed 4 years. I started in Reiki. Many, many people start with Reiki. It's a wonderful modality. I learned a few things like the coaching certification. I learned NLP. I've done meditation of various kinds over the years. But the clairvoyant training, the energy medicine training, I became a minister. You know, you mentioned all that. And I certainly have a teacher certification to teach this kind of learning. And that's very specific. To teach people how to access and use their intuition is a very specific kind of training. And so this has sort of been perfected over about 10 years.
So I was also going to ask you, what makes your training different from what you received as well as what others might be doing in different places?
Yes. What I received is what I call classic clairvoyant training. And a certain kind of energy modality that was specific to the school I studied at. Classic clairvoyant training is wonderful. There are actually quite a lot of places to study that. Medical intuition is different than that. It is using the clairvoyant sense, but for the purpose of viewing the body, viewing the physical anatomy, as well as the energy anatomy, for the purpose of finding the root causes of this, of imbalances, illness, and disease. So it has a much more finely, I guess, honed purpose than a clairvoyant reading you might get from your wonderful psychic that you call. Now, that psychic might look at all kinds of aspects of your life, and, you know, that's what clairvoyants should do, a good psychic. But a medical intuitive will look at the physical body, the energy anatomy, and then look at the underlying reasons for the imbalance. And that touches on so many things, as you might imagine. That all has to do with not just physical trauma, but emotional, mental, and spiritual trauma that happens in our lives, from the womb up till now, and even into past lives, and karmic connections, and things of that nature. So we want to look at all of it.
Where I was also interested is how did you gravitate from your training to really honing in on this specifically? Because it seems to me that your training has uniqueness to it.
Yes, it does. There are very few places in the country that I'm aware of to learn and study medical intuition. And, I've set up my program and developed my program specifically for people in the healthcare field. So, ask me your question again. I'm so sorry I spaced out here.
What led you, with all of that training and your experience, led you to hone in kind of on this medical intuition piece and the training that you offer?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Sorry about that. I will tell you exactly. When I looked around out there as being a professional clairvoyant and a professional energy healer, I looked around at the energy healing community, and I saw a real divide between clairvoyant skill set and energy healing skill set. And what I saw in the energy healing field, and not just in energy healing, it's also in nursing and in other fields too, I saw this ability to use intuition as like a flash of insight right? People who do energy healing, they'll download stuff, they'll get hits of information. Nurses do that too, by the way. And they're encouraged to, but they're never told what to do with that. For an energy healer, you get a hit of information you might tell your client or your patient, and that's really useful information for them. But it's not a deliberate, methodical skill set. Sometimes it's very random. Sometimes you get a lot of stuff. Sometimes you get nothing. And I saw that there needed to be a training for people in healthcare so that they can really learn these skills as a methodical protocol to support their healing practices. And that's why that's what medical intuition is in a nutshell. And that's why I decided to develop this program specifically this way. And I have to tell you, my experience of medicine, even complementary and alternative healthcare, is that everybody gets into a little bit of what I call tunnel vision. They really just see their patient or their client through the lens of their own modality. Nothing mm-hmm. wrong with that. But it's not a holistic viewpoint. So what I do as a medical intuitive, if someone comes to me and they say, I have this issue, I will do my whole visual. I'll look at their physical body. I'll look at their energy anatomy. I'll look for the reasons and the original trauma points. But I'm also going to look to see what modalities are going to work best for them and their physical issues or their energetic issues. It may not be my personal healing modality. It might be something else or a series of other things. As a responsible and ethical medical intuitive, I have to look at their energy from the broadest possible perspective. So that is a missing piece to me in all healthcare. And that's why I teach what I teach. Yeah.
I think that was, I don't like to use this term often, but I think that was a really profound point for all of us to consider is exactly that most medical practitioners, whether they call themselves holistic or allopathic doctors, naturopath, it doesn't really matter, do tend to look at everything through their lens. And that may be restrictive in what we need for our healing process. So I think that's good for us to know, because I also believe each of us need to be a big partner and they have big responsibility for our own health, our own healing, our own journey through life as a healthy human being. We need to be involved.
I think
if our practitioner questions our questioning, we may need to find a new practitioner.
Well, you know, you would imagine who comes to a medical intuitive over the years. I've gotten, you know, the difficult cases, the people who feel that the medical world has abandoned them or not given them the right information, misdiagnosis is a pretty hairy issue for in the medical world, and a lot of alternative practitioners see people like this. But medical intuition in specific can really help get to the root of things. You know, the original trauma points, where this stuff started, that's where we can be taking responsibility for our health issues, because so much of this comes from our early lives and, you know, the decisions that we might have made about life. A lot of beliefs are active in physical issues. So these are the important things to look at for people, and it really does illuminate their healing journey and help them along.
You know, you mentioned that you have practitioners who are psychologists. You said even nurses. And I'm going to make a statement. You didn't make this statement, so I want to be real clear. I'm not putting words in your mouth. But in my experience, I would expect psychologists and nurses many of them have gotten into their profession through a sense of empathy, but not necessarily doctors. Many doctors.
Oh, I don't agree with you on that, but go ahead.
Well, you probably have greater experience. Well, I was going to say my experience with doctors have been not that they don't care about patients, but less empathy driven and more intellectually driven. And nurses, most nurses I've run into have been more empathy driven and less intellectually driven. And I believe that goes for most psychologists that actually get into counseling, because you can't be a counselor if you don't have some empathy to build that rapport with that client.
Wow, that is, I would say that is a sort of a societal truth, and that I think most people would experience medicine that way as well. I will say this, the doctors that are and you know, the doctors have been a little slow on the whole energy medicine thing.
Yeah.
Medical intuition is a really natural fit for doctors, and you know, I've had over the years a number of very forward-thinking doctors take the program, and it's been extremely gratifying to teach doctors and nurses as well, people who work in the traditional Western medicine setting. But the thing is that I can tell you that this is what I hear from doctors. The system is not set up for them to practice their empathy. And there have been, it's a ridiculous system, and people who've gone to doctors know it. If you get 15 minutes with your doctor, you're lucky. There's not time for a conversation. There's not time for that. So regardless of whether they wanted to show empathy and compassion and interest in your life, they may not literally have time for it. And it's a shame. The way Western medicine is set up right now, and everybody hates it. The doctors hate it too, but nobody quite knows how to fix all this. So what's interesting about the process of medical intuition when I've taught these wonderful doctors is they get it. They get it. They understand the connection and the knowledge that they can, the awareness that they can bring to their own practice of someone's issue. See, here's an example.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, just everybody imagine, think about this. If your doctor was, your medical doctor was also a medical intuitive or had this ability, he could take a look at your case even before he met with you or she, do a read, a scan on your physical body issue, maybe hone a diagnosis or even correct a diagnosis, or even create a diagnosis out of this image, this information along with his or her body of knowledge. But he or she could also see the root causes. So if you had, for example, hypertension, and your doctor generally says, cut down on stress, well, what stress? How? You know, what are you talking about? Where's the stress coming from? You know, why? So all of these questions people have, and they're sort of thrown back into their lives by the medical system saying, cut down on stress, you know, with a pamphlet or something, but nothing having to do with their personal experience of life. So if my doctor could look at my energy and say, look, here, here, and here, you know, are areas that you could look at for fixing and also for modifying. And I can send you to a really great massage therapist. And I have a terrific psychologist that you can work with. And here, over here, what about this acupuncturist for this issue? What if your medical doctor had that awareness and ability and could prescribe those things for you? Wouldn't that disrupt medicine completely? Wouldn't that just be a complete sea change in medicine? And so is our, wouldn't that truly be holistic medicine?
Oh, absolutely. Because then it's turning it into just a continuum. It's really a continuum. Our health is a continuum.
Yeah.
And it's our life. Yeah, I like that. I love that concept and that idea. So one thing
Go
ahead.
I was going to say, I'm pretty passionate about this idea, I'll tell you what. And we are seeing integrative medicine centers springing up, you know, in California and other places. We are seeing integrative health departments now in teaching colleges and universities where they're starting to learn about this sort of thing. I'm speaking at them every so often, and they're like, ooh, that's interesting. So we're starting to see a shift in medicine, and I couldn't be happier. I mean, the energy healers knew about this a long time ago, but it's time to really bring this into the mainstream.
Well, you said you go out and speak. Do you find yourself speaking more at what we would call like non-metaphysical businesses, corporations, institutions?
Yes, I'm so thrilled to be doing that.
Excellent.
Yeah. I mean, the metaphysical community really gets it. They know. They understand. And when I talk about medical intuition, everybody's head nods because they can put it all together. They can understand the concepts. When I speak to doctors, nurses, psychologists, believe me, they get it too. It's just, it's new. It's newer for them. I'm happy to say that the psychologists really understand this. and it really fits with psychology. So
you know,
that's a nice thing too.
We touched on your upcoming classes, but one of the things we didn't mention about them is that they are accredited. People can receive continuing education credits if they're in the medical field, or I thought, was it just nursing?
I'm accredited for nurses through the California Nursing Board, and I have been accredited for massage therapists, and I will tell you that they've just changed the rules, unfortunately, and they're not accrediting energy-based programs after 2018 or at some point, but I'm still accredited through 2018. So if there are any massage therapists, body workers, chiropractics, people, craniosacral, they can still take the class for CE credit up until a certain point in 2018. So this next program would be available to them and possibly the one in early 2018, but I'm not sure. Things are changing out there a little bit. And I am looking for applying for accreditation for other fields as well, including social workers. I get a good number of social workers in the program, which is a wonderful fit.
Yeah, that sounds like that would be very powerful for social workers. Now, you have two Level 1 classes coming up, one in Los Angeles and one in San Diego. Could you tell us when those are starting up and if people are interested, where they can go on your website?
Thank you. Yes, both of those programs start in September, and they can go to the website at thepracticalpath.com and click on either of the buttons for Los Angeles or San Diego, and you'll see the dates online. It's a four-month program with one weekend intensive per month. So it's the investment of time is one weekend per month for 4 months for the Level 1 program. The Level 2 program will start pretty soon after, and that again is 1 weekend a month for 4 months. And I do offer a series of master classes for people who've graduated the Level 1 or Level 2 that are just fun, you know, more development and intuition, learning about different aspects. And all of that information is on the website. It's a lot of fun.
And while people are on the website too, they also still have the opportunity to have personal consultations with you. Do you still do a lot of that, or is that put off by a lot of the classwork?
No. I make time for that. I read. I set up appointments a couple times a week, sometimes three days a week if I can swing it. But no, it's very important to me to keep reading at this time until I get too busy, I suppose. But I want this available for people. And to be totally honest, you know, medical intuition, there's a lot of people who call themselves medical intuitive. And because it's not, there are not that many places to study and learn, you know, I always want to know what someone's background is. So, you know, I think it's great to go out and look. But I've had people come to me and say, you know, I'm a little worried about this because I talked to a medical intuitive and I didn't, you know, I heard a lot of strange things or it didn't make sense to me or whatever. And that's really about training and practice and time and, you know, the right curriculum and things like that. So I would say, to answer your question, yes, I still read.
Oh, good. Excellent. And one other thing that is on your website, too, we talked a little bit about this, is that there's the availability of meditations that people can listen to for free on different areas and different topics and try that out to see if that helps them. And we were hoping that you would be able to do a little bit of a guided kind of release meditation for us. So for everybody listening, if you've got something you feel that's clogging you up, maybe this could help break it open a little bit.
Wonderful.
Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's such a great skill. On the website, I've posted meditations. They're short and sweet and easy. Won't take up a lot of time in your day. But these are really, really important skills to learn how to work with your own energy. And it's called the Energy Essentials Series. And I started with grounding. And if you've taken a yoga class or something like that, you might know a little bit about grounding, or if you're an energy worker. Grounding is a very important skill. There's also the skill of protecting your energy. There's the skill of connecting with your guidance. That's very important. And the skill we're going to talk about today that I'll guide you through a little bit is the skill of releasing emotional energy that you don't want to hang out with. Anything in your energy system that you're ready to let go of, and you want to have a technique to do that. So, would you like me just to guide people through for a few minutes?
Yes, please.
Okay, good. So, if you're sitting in a chair or you're lying down, that's fine. Just take a deep breath in and out. Another breath in. It's a great way to end the day too. And out. And the first thing you want to do is you want to sort of take a little scan of your own body. Just notice any tension or tightness or physical pain. Yeah, anything in your body, maybe in your jaw or your stomach area or your back or your neck. Any physical pain or tightness or tension, you want to just notice it. Just locate it and notice it. Just say, okay, there it is, a little tightness in my neck. A little pain in my foot. Just notice it. Good. Now, I'm going to ask you to visualize in your mind's eye a big, beautiful, rainbow-colored soap bubble. And this rainbow-colored soap bubble is floating right outside of your energy, sort of next to your body, maybe by a couple of feet. And what you're going to do, you can use your hand or you can use your mind, is you're going to imagine pulling all of that tension or tightness or pain as if you could just pull it right out with your hand, and you're going to do that now. So find those little places where there's tension or tightness or a little pain or tiredness. Pull it out, and it's going to flow right into that beautiful soap bubble as if you were blowing smoke right into it. So see any tension or tightness flowing right out of your body and into the soap bubble, just hovering there. Very good. Take your time with it and just let it come right out. And you can feel it leaving your body like smoke and going right into that beautiful soap bubble, filling up. Very good. Now the other thing we're going to notice is any emotions that we're ready to release. Maybe some regret or anger or frustration, anything like that. We want to locate that wherever it is in our body. And sometimes that's in our chest or our stomach or our back or our neck. Locate any emotions, frustration, anger, regret, resentment, things like that. And I want you to imagine with your hand pulling all of those little emotions out as if they're smoke just coming right out of your body and going right into that beautiful soap bubble. Now, that soap bubble can get really, really big as it holds all of this energy you're ready to release. So release all of those emotions and let them fill up that soap bubble. Good. Now, what we're going to do with this soap bubble is we're going to blow with our mouth. You know how you can blow a soap bubble with your mouth and it just starts to float? So whoosh, blow a little soap bubble, blow it out. And it's going to float up, 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 up. You're going to watch it float away off into the blue sky. That soap bubble that has the tension and physical stuff and the emotions that you're ready to release. And as you watch it float up into the beautiful blue sky, it gets smaller and smaller. Very, very small. And eventually it's just going to dissolve and the wind is going to send that stuff back to wherever it belongs. So just let that soap bubble go and dissolve into the atmosphere. Take a deep breath in and out. And you can open your eyes. And that's a very simple, easy way let go of tension, physical stuff, and emotions that you just want to let go of in the moment. You don't want to carry those around.
Well, thank you so much for doing that, Wendy. We want to remind everyone listening, we're speaking with Wendy Coulter, medical intuitive, clairvoyant, author, speaker, so many things. The practitioner of the practicalpath.com, where you can find out about learning to become a medical intuitive, as well as receive some guided meditations, and in addition have personal personal sessions with Wendy to have your own sense of self looked at and determined medically what you need to focus on to keep yourself in health. So, Wendy, is there any final thoughts you would like to share with the listeners? And
Well, thank you so much, first of all, Solarzar, for having me. It was a real pleasure. I love talking about medical intuition. If anybody has any questions about the program or what I do, please just connect with me on that contact form on the website, and I'll answer your emails and whatnot, and I'm happy to answer any questions. You know, we're really in charge of our own health, and all the answers to our questions are really literally within us. They're in our bodies. They're in our energy fields. Our guidance is there with us all the time. And when we start looking inward, we start really getting the answers that we're looking for. So I want to relay that out.
Well, once again, thank you so much for spending your time with us. And if you'll please just hold on, I want to let the listeners know that Good Vibrations Radio will be back on Monday. Kirilani will be with us at that time doing her Go With The Flow for the month of July. And we hope that everyone takes some of what Wendy shared today and also some of what we shared at the top of the show to use the rest of this week for release and forgiveness and to get yourself ready to live the dream that you intend for yourself. Create those intentions, move forward, release anything holding you back, and forgive yourself and others around you for any ways we might be blaming, which is of no purpose, and feeling some shame for ourselves. So thank you all for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. Take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Many blessings to you. Namaste.